pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jada GamerCast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, I'm drinking champagne tonight, and I heard you're drinking beer.
Yes, I am. I have bacon maple ale, and since I'm anticipating a long episode, I have some Alley Cat Amber Ale on backup.
There you go. All right. Oh, we got the Thanksgiving long weekend here, which should be nice. Lots of drinking, lots of food.
Yeah.
But for us, it means painting. We got to get painting done.
Yeah, it's true. I either have to decide that I want to paint my entire Ralphosa fleet in a couple weeks, or just say, eh, fuck it, and paint my Tyrant-class battleship for my Terrans. So I think I know what's going to end up happening 3 days before the tournament. But I can fool myself and kid myself this far out.
I mean, that's always a possibility, and that tends to, for people like us who kind of have armies on deck, it's less of an issue of like, oh man, if I don't do this, I won't be able to play. Like, it's absolutely just like, oh no, it's, you know, I'll just play.
Well,
that will happen.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, I could play 1,200 Terrans immediately. I mean, I've done two different builds for 1,200 points in Terrans, so I've got about 1,500 painted on deck right now. Or I could choose, like, I can paint one Terran battleship for, you know, that Terran fleet, get him where I want him to be, or I could paint one Aquan Dreadnought and get that Aquan fleet up to 1,200, get him where I want him to be, and so I'm just like, I got options.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with my Tier 3 now. For my Dindrenzi, which is great. Mm-hmm. This is This Week in Hobby, by the way, in case you guys haven't fucking figured it out. I've been kind of working on them, getting everything prepped and ready to go. They paint super quick. Like I said, they are almost done at this point, so like they're getting ready to go on the table.
Yeah, I was able to bang out 6 Dindrenzi frigates in like an afternoon. You're just like, wow, these are a really refreshing change of pace.
Frigates always go like lightning. And with these guys, because I'm kind of mirroring the box color scheme, there's very, very little to do on them. Mm. That's kind of the nice thing about doing the color scheme from the box, is it's like, yeah, there's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they're done. Like, this is nothing special. But I think they'll look pretty good on the table. So for the most part, I'm happy with them as it stands right now. But, mm-hmm. You know, then I'm going to start into my Tier 1, get my Tier 1 out of the way.
But you have a Dreadnought, don't you?
No, I have a battleship, and I've got
two battleships. Yeah.
And then I have to get into the long haul of my five cruisers and 3 heavy cruisers.
Mm.
That'll take a little bit more time, believe it or not.
But yeah,
I'm hopeful. Like I said, it's a quick paint job, so I'm looking forward to getting them.
Yeah, back. Like I said, when I was just, because like I said, I hit like a moment of painter's block on my Ralthosa, and I was like, fuck this, I know what I want to do on my Dindrenzi, so I just like pulled them out, started painting some stuff. I'm like, man, these are going fast. Painted like one Gladius gunship in the time it took me to paint all 6 of like the frigates I did, and I was like, oh, mediums.
Yeah, that Firestorm ADD is strong. It's going to be just as bad when we get to Planetfall.
Oh my god.
You were talking to me this week where you're just like, okay, I really like Ceruleans for Planetfall, which means I kind of really want to do Ceruleans now for Firestorm Armada. And I was like, oh Jesus.
Right?
It
doesn't help that at this moment right now I have 2 painted Firestorm fleets. Actually, let's be honest, 2 and then 2 half painted Firestorm fleets. So I'm like, I got 4 of the 6 fucking main core races at some point of assembled and or painted in my home. So I'm just like, oh, Planetfall's going to release all 6? Son of a bitch. Because, right. Like, realistically, of the 5 races that they've shown for Planetfall, the only one that interests me in no way is Terrans. And I'm just like, oh,
but this is... You'll probably still do them, though, because you love your Terrans.
Yeah, I do love my Terrans. They're easily my favorite fleet. So, yeah, I'll probably end up doing them in Planetfall.
It begins. All right, so let's move on to the model of the week. Model of the week is Gotrut Spoom. Spoomy.
You know, I was going to say, what makes that actually funnier is I was watching hockey out of some American feeds, and my God, what announcers out of Philadelphia do to French-Canadian names is very much along the lines of what you just did to Gutrot Spoom.
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 It's Spoom, baby.
It's like Spoon.
It's like Spoon, but with a little something extra. this model is, I mean, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. It's just fucking crazy.
You know,
for them for doing something different with a cool pose. Mm-hmm. And again, foot up on a rock, because rocks in the 41st millennia are apparently like trampolines.
Listen, this is not the 41st millennium. Oh, I guess, no, this is end times, although I'm sure
they'll technically end times.
They still will probably. Rocks. Oh, yeah, man, fucking rocks are everywhere. Listen, the first key to success on the battlefield is scope out and find the rockiest field you can. Okay, that is tactics 101.
Crags. Right. Crags are your friend. Out on the battlefield, man. Right. So yeah, I like the model. I think the model is really good. It does, you know, like we've been talking so much about the whole thing where it's like bad connecting pieces between where the head sits and where the mm-hmm. arms sit, where it's just like, I'm a torso, stick yes. an arm on, and we got this big black gap, mm-hmm. you know, between them. This really does a good job of hiding it. The paint job is quite nice. I mean, I do definitely like the model. It is yeah. a super cool model, and I love how his mm-hmm. let's say belly button tentacle is holding the bottom of the axe.
Yes.
So I think
there's stability there.
Well, you know, but you got a two handed. That's a great axe. Right. Well, you know, hand and tentacle, whatever.
No, I mean, this model has so much good going for it, and then there's just so many things that just make me kind of cringe, okay?
Well, all the heads, skulls, and all that.
Right? Well, and that's what I was going to get to. So, first of all, it commits many a fucking hobby sin, like many a model sin. Like, why does he have a clothes drying rack on his shoulder pad? Like, he was just like, listen, sometimes I'm in a hurry, I need to hang out my gentles, my delicates to dry while I'm on a hard march. Like, fuck, I hate the thing on his shoulder. He's got loose straps to everywhere, heads, skulls, all that bullshit.
Yeah. You know, like, the rusty unicorn horn, which, by the way, don't ever Google that, is more than enough for this model. I agree that the clothes dryer, the wind vane, whatever the fuck it is sitting on the shoulder pad, is just completely unnecessary.
It's oh, you nice could put a rooster on there and you'd know could, which absolutely. Direction the wind is blowing at right. all times. No, I mean, like, there's that. But I mean, like, on the other hand, I fucking love the mutation of the tentacles. I even love, like, the fucking tit mouth kind of thing going on there. I love it. I think
that's side boob, dude. That's all. That's
side that boob. Is all side boob.
That's that sweet chaos side boob.
Yeah, because I mean, like, what this model really reminds me of is that sweet as hell Nurgle Chaos Lord for Warriors that they released years ago. That is still far and away my favorite model that I think they've ever released for Warriors Chaos. It channels so much of that aesthetic where you got like the big fatty with like the fucking rolls coming out everywhere, falling out of the armor. But now what we have is we have a guy that's super mutated, and this is a side of Chaos that Games Workshop has traditionally not shown us.
Right.
I mean, they talk about how Chaos mutates everything, and then they're just like, well, you know, Chaos mutates and you get gifts, and then there are spawn, and that's it, one to the other. So I really like that. And I like the kind of aesthetic thing. His little, like, double skirt thing is fine, whatever. But for me, I'm just like, there's just so much extra shit that I would just clip off. Because I think if you get rid of everything but that Mark of Nurgle on his loincloth,
mm-hmm.
you know, get rid of all of the other stuff on his belt and get rid of the shoulder pads and probably even the rusty unicorn horn, you could file away.
Well,
just do a smooth yeah. like Klansman style helmet. Although, wow, I did not realize how Klansman that is until you're on
It's not a helmet. It's just like a leather face mask.
Oh yeah, dude. Like when you look at it straight on, like in the 360, and you rotate him, so it's just like he's peering into your soul. That is straight up Klansman hood.
Paint him white, go Grand Dragon Spoon. I guess right. at that point he would be red. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, like there's a lot of shit going on here. We get this. This is very typical of Chaos. The weapon stands out as being very simplistic, which is awesome. It's just mm-hmm. big. It's a big, dirty, you know, slowly decaying axe, which is super, super cool. I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, this model is a good model. I definitely like it. Goes together mm-hmm. nicely. I think this would probably look really, really nice on the table. I don't have a whole lot negative to say other than the stupid piece on the shoulder pad, because I like the rusty unicorn horn. I think that's totally fine.
You know what? Honestly, of everything that I would clip off, that would probably be last, and I might end up keeping it. But like I said, I'd get rid of the shoulder. I'd get rid of all of like the loose straps.
Yeah, the
Get rid of the
straps.
heads and the bullshit like that, and just let the model exist as is. And I think that it would look absolutely fantastic, especially with all of the fucking hentai there. Yeah, ladies, watch out.
Well, you see, his father was a Chaos Lord. His mother was a Carnifex.
Oh,
That's all
see,
that was. And, you know.
I, you know, you went that way. I would have said that his mother was a fisherman's wife, is where I was get thought you were going, but
No, I don't see why you. I mean, some people just really like their pets. It would be like if the Rancor Keeper in Jabba's Palace was getting fresh,
Well,
right? Like, that's
listen,
the.
you don't try that hard if you're not getting fresh with your
That's the.
Rancor, okay? Let's be honest.
Why would you cry that hard? Oh, sweet Jesus. Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say. This is a nice model. I do quite like it. And for plastic, it looks fantastic. You don't have to worry about stupid fine cast anymore from Games Workshop, thank God. So
Yeah, thank God they got the memo where
they
they're like,
absolutely
no
got it.
one wants this. Okay.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on to the weekly listener poll. The question we asked you guys last week was, have you already switched or are you planning to switch to digital edition codex options? 59% of the vote said no. 40% said yes. This was very interesting to me because I thought there would honestly be more people planning to move over to digital codecs, almost exclusively because of the price. But apparently, the majority of people have no intention whatsoever of ever switching over to the digital editions. Which, I mean, I get, I like the idea. Like, there's more than a few people comment where they're just like, I just want the book in my hand. And it's like, okay, that's fine and all, but.
See, if I'm gaming, I want the physical book. Like, if this is an army that I play, I'm gonna buy the physical book. Like,
See,
you know,
I
and
don't
that's.
anymore. I don't want the physical book at all. I've got a tablet. Like, it's just, I don't need to have a physical book to do those things for me if I'm gonna be sticking post-it notes between all the pages trying to find the fucking information I'm looking for because the book is laid out so poorly when I can just go, boop contents, boop mandrakes.
Yeah,
Boop!
that's fair.
We're talking about boops here.
Boops. Beeps and boops, or just boops? Come on, it wasn't that bad.
I just didn't have anything witty to say to that because it
Oh,
was
okay.
just, well, it was you, to be
You know,
perfectly honest.
it's yeah, but after 4 years, I would feel like you would be a little more prepared for that kind of
Well, it's
like
just, but I wasn't
bad.
shocked or appalled by it. I was just like, yep, that happened. It happens a lot. High up sung student said it appears I have moved to the free digital download model due to finances, but I'm planning on buying a physical copy when the Blood Angels Codex comes out, as it is my only army. Yeah, the free digital model, I think is pretty awesome, considering the fact that, the way EPUBs work and the way all that kind of stuff is handled, you can pretty much just get your hands on the books and then there it is. And I don't particularly have a problem with that for people who just don't have the money to buy books and to go through the books. And especially if you just need to know, like, well, what's this army bringing to the table? You want to be involved. In my mind, it's not really that much. Well, okay, I don't want to get into an argument about this, but it's not that much different from just going into Games Workshop and playing in a Vets Night and just grabbing the book off the shelf and flipping through it. And like,
That
buy the
shit
book if you
happens.
need the book, go for it. But we're kind of past that. I don't know. We're past that mentality in wargaming, the age of the internet. So I totally understand the people who have moved to the free digital download model for obvious $65 reasons. Andrew says, I'm a yes, but yes, I love digital. I'm a yes, but there you go. Whatever. There's other things. Yes, I love digital edition books. I played third edition D&D long enough to mass a sizable pile of books that were annoying to lug around. So having the books in a single device or two sounds like a great idea. On the other hand, I love being able to flick through a physical book. Sure, digital editions can be bookmarked for easy searching, but it's not the same. I don't see how it's not the same. Also, books never run out of power. Well, bindings break, but whatever.
Well, I was gonna say, but you
How
know,
long are you gaming?
Even beyond that, not only how long are you gaming, but why are you gaming in the middle of a, like, nowhere in a powerless shack by candlelight?
That's
like,
right.
Fuck off. You don't bring a charger with you everywhere?
That's like, yeah, it's like, you know, I love cellular phones, but cords don't ever have to be recharged. You know, like, come on. I mean,
right?
most devices are lasting you upwards of 8 hours, you know, as it stands. And it's not like the screen is on all the time. So I think the whole idea of the battery running out on you mid-game means that that tablet that you're using is either, you know, 6 or 7 years old with, like, a completely depleted battery, or, you know, you're just not, you're so dumb that you're not charging it. And
right.
You're showing up.
I was gonna say, even look at the last Firestorm tournament where I'm just like, oh yeah, I forgot to charge my phone the night before, so I brought a charger with me, had 9% when I plugged it in the morning, and it never died all day because there was a fucking power socket.
Right.
I plugged my phone in. It
right.
was
and,
fine.
And you were running off your phone, right? Like that was you were a 100% digital for your list. Everything was on your phone.
Absolutely.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. So, yeah, like I said, I don't necessarily agree that, oh, books don't ever run out of blah, 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 or, you know, digital editions can be bookmarked, but it's not the same. I don't see how it's not the same. It's better. That's how it's not the same, if anything. Anyways, Scott says, I'm all about the hard copy. I love the feel of the book in my hands, and I can flip back and forth. If that's your fetish, Scott, that's fine. I don't think, you know, what you do in the privacy of your
own. Well, and that's what I was going to say. It's less the feel of the book on his hand so much as the feel of his dick on the book, I think, is what he's getting at.
I love mashing my dick.
Do not share Scotty's books.
I love mashing my dick between certain pages. Just close it and slam my fist down on it. Those hardcovers are durable, let me tell you. And whatever they make those pages out of, it is nonstick. All right, so... Admiral Steve says, I will always buy the physical book for an army I play. However, I do have a collection of all the digital books on my tablet for reference and ease of transport to tournaments. So I think that's probably the fairest assessment. If I play an army, sure, I'll buy a physical book. However, if I don't, it's pretty much just digital, just to have that collection of everything on there, have it, you know, available. All right, so thanks to everyone who voted on the weekly listener poll. You can find those at jadedgamercast.com. We will have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember.
Like we didn't last week.
Why would you even point it out? as you guys may have noticed, I am slightly getting over a cold, so I'm somewhat nasally. So I'll apologize right now if I end up, you know, hacking up a goober halfway through this. It's just a splume. It's, you know, I'm role-playing, if you ask me. I do want to do a quick shout out. The quick shout out is for Uncle Mike and the Kickstarter for Strange Aeons Edition 2. And I'm just going to jump over here to see exactly how much time we have left on this Kickstarter. I think it's about 2 or 3 weeks left on the Kickstarter still.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of time to get in there. It's already surpassed its goal in triplicate. 21
yep.
days left to go, 211 backers. There's some really awesome stuff here, and those stretch goals are just being completely destroyed at this point. And if you're looking for some of the high-end options, there are very, very few left. I think there's one high-end option left. Everything else is pretty much gone. But some really, really awesome models. He's posted some of the unpainted, just resin figures, and really, the new figures look so fucking good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you like small skirmish games, there is no reason for you to not be all over Strange Aeons. I've talked about Bushido a lot, but Strange Aeons is still one of the best skirmish games there is.
It is by far my favorite skirmish game, to say the least. The size of the game works so well, and the models are so much fun, and the way that it plays, it's such a good campaign style system. Nathan and I can't say more good about it. If you do go to our website and you're looking for how to get to the Kickstarter, there is a link, but what you have to do is just click on the little K on the video. So once you see the video on our page at the top left, there's a little K. You just click on the K. That'll bring you to the Kickstarter page. It has been updated a lot since I posted all this extra stuff, so there's a whole bunch of extra things on there to take a look at. We absolutely recommend that you guys buy into this and get it started at your local gaming club, because it is cheap to start and it is a fun as fuck game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on to the main topic of today's show. It is Dark Eldar Part 2. We are going to talk about some lists that Nathan and I have built. So I will start us off with the same question I ask every single time. Nathan, it's been a week. Has your view on this book changed since then?
Has my view on the book changed? Mostly no. I mean, there's a couple things where I've had a week to digest and kind of fuck around with lists and look at things, as well as talk to Dark Eldar players that I do know. A lot of them seem to, like, the only complaint that I've heard from other people that I really have to kind of look at and just be like, yeah, you know, you, that's a good point, is that there really is no price reduction. Because whereas you see things like Raiders went down 5 points, but then it's 5 points to put the Darklands back on, so they come out as being exactly the same cost. So it's just like a friend of mine, for example, was just like, so I priced out the list that I had before once I made it like legal and all that, and my list didn't change. It's point for point identical. And I was like, wait, are you kidding me? He's like, nope, 1,500 points. Even the Warriors got cheaper and this got cheaper and that. It's just like, same number of points.
So is he just not taking jet bikes?
Well, he only took a unit of six before. No, but I mean, like, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where you're just like, yeah, you know what? I can definitely see that there are certain thing elements that, you know, did get more expensive or maybe didn't change as much as you were kind of hoping for. Like Archons went up in points cost and, you know, Succubus went up in points cost and Homunculus went up in points
cost. Talos went up in points cost.
You know, and things like that. So you're just like, you know, he was just like, yeah, so all of the savings I got here were just completely bumped up by all of that stuff. And I was like, well, that's unfortunate. With that being said, I do still really like this book. I mean, I think that there are some outrageously good cost-effective options in the book. Like, I think that there are certain units and certain choices that you can take that are so unbelievably points efficient that it's crazy. I think my only complaint with this book is that a lot of the mainstays and staples from the last book, like racks that were slotted into troops thanks to Homunculus, and witches and Hellions with the Baron, there is just absolutely no point in taking them anymore whatsoever. And I think that's my complaint.
You know, yeah, like, I while building lists, I came to a very similar conclusion. I had purchased the things that I liked in essentially duplicate each time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got the big unit that I wanted and I got some other stuff. And once I added it up, building to 1850, I had like a solid 400 points left over, and I'm sitting here looking at stuff going like, okay, well, do I want to take maybe some flyers, or am I just looking to fill this out? Like, do I just want to spam another unit of these in, or do I want to like keep kind of diversifying what I'm doing and, you know, add a unit that I normally maybe wouldn't take, but I'm going to take it just because I've got the points and I like them. Yeah. And that's what I ended up doing. That was the option I went for. I took stuff that I liked that weren't necessarily the best options, but I liked them and I liked them for the points. And in my mind, it's like, you know, these guys can really, you know, be used, but they're not the crux of my army.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was a huge part of my list that, you know, as it came together was just like, man, I got a lot of, like, I really have a lot of points. Should I be looking at this as more of a horde army? Or do I want to reel it back to, like, my whole army is Warriors, Jet Bikes, and Talos, right? Which was the option in my head. I was like, you know, maybe I just want to do that. Maybe that's the army I want to play. So it was a bit strange because it's been a very, very long time since I ran into that on this level where it's like, oh, no, though, there's other options. There's all sorts of other options, but I don't necessarily like any of them. They're not bad. I just don't really like them.
Yeah, you know, well, and that was one of the things, too, is like for me, one of the lists got champagne everywhere.
No.
Are you having a champagne shower? Is that what just happened?
I peed myself, but that's not what that's called.
Right. No, and like that was things like there was even one list like
party, by the way.
You know, we have both had that. I'm neither shocked nor surprised. I'm just gonna push on kind of moments tonight. Like, and that's impressive. We're 20 minutes in and we both already had an eye roll move on moment.
It's just it's like we're in a foot race and we just like we throw like this really like low fence in front of the other and the other guy just steps over it like ah. Like you thought that whatever and just keeps going
right. No, you know, and like those things, like there was even one list that I was working at where I'm like, okay, I started with my troops, they're really cheap, started with my reavers, really cheap, loved them. And then I added, like, you know, remember what I was saying where I was like the Archon with the Webway,
Yes.
with all the Sliths and the two Venoms, and I looked at that and I was like, that's like 600 points. Why the fuck would I do that when this is like 120? And I just like, no, not doing it that way anymore.
All right, so let's dive right in here. Let's break this down. I'll also say I'm still very happy with the book. I actually really like the list that I created, and you know, this as an old school Dark Eldar player, this makes me feel like, you know, if I could have done this back when I was playing Dark Eldar, even with the old book, I would have been happy. So yeah, let's break that down. So why don't you start with your list, Nathan?
Sweet. So my list is starting off with a homunculus who is carrying a webway portal. I really, really wanted a Crucible of Malediction, but had to trim points. So you take what you can get. Crucible of Malediction, specifically for the laughing at Eldar players or Grey Knights or Demons, like anyone with lots of psychers to just be able to just be like, everyone takes a strength 6 hit, no saves of any kind allowed. It's funny. It's not super effective, but it's funny.
I don't even think that that's how that works. It's just one strength 6 hit for the unit.
Well, or the model. I thought...
Yeah. Well, if it's a model, right? But it's any unit with a psyker takes a strength 6 hit.
That's true. But anyway, like I said, I just thought it was hilarious. Didn't have the point. So homunculus, webway, portal.
Yep.
After that, I have 4 10-man Dark Lance wielding warrior units. I thought about taking the 20 man with the 2 Dark Lances because it's 200 points at that point. But then I was like, you know what? Flexibility, it's easier to hide a unit and wait until I get some feel no pain from power through pain, or like run it up into cover and get cover saves. I just felt like the 10 man unit was a little more flexible. So instead of running the 220, oh, and I'm running standard Force Org.
All right.
Just so you know, I'm not running the Dark Eldar one because objective secured is far better than that. Hey, sometimes if you possibly happen to get Night Fight to work, you totally get a save, bro.
Yeah.
So like I said, I just have 4 10-man squads of warriors. Each of them have a Dark Lance. No other upgrades beyond that. Cheap and cheerful. I got 40 boots on the ground for 400 points. Cannot complain. After that, I have a unit of 10 Grotesques with a sergeant who has an agonizer, and they're with my homunculus and his webway portal. So they're kind of my boogeyman that's going to drop down wherever the fuck I need them to be, hopefully turn 2 on a 3+. If not, no big deal. And yeah, like I said, the webway portal gives them deep strike, makes them not scatter. It's just a fantastically flexible unit that lets me put them where I need them to be. Mm-hmm. After that, I have a unit of 12 Reaver jet bikes with 4 heat lances and a champion with an agonizer. This was originally 2 units of 6, but then I had to downgrade Void Ravens to Razor Wings, and I didn't have more fast attack slots. So one unit of 12, okay. Which even with 4 heat lances and a sergeant with an agonizer, because we talked about how as the game progresses, this becomes a better and better combat unit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, is still only 267 points, and holy shit, I could happily take 2 of them. But then after that, I took a pair of Razor Wings with Dark Lances and Night Shields. One thing we didn't talk about that I noticed this week, Night Shields on the Razor Wing are fucking bananas. Mm-hmm. So the Night Shield grants you stealth, which at first pass you're just like, ooh, a 6+ cover save. But jinking on your flyer gives you a 4+ cover save, which stealth is increasing to 3+. So when you have a really soft armor 10 all around, I think 3 hull points, I just have to bring it up to verify that, flyer, being able to just jump out and go, 3 hull points, being able to dive into a 3+ cover save is absolutely going to save you. So... love the Night Shields there. And then I had a unit of 3 Talos with Twin Linked Heat Lances on them, because for 5 points, why would you not?
Yes, exactly.
So, and that for me came out to 1,842 points. Now, it is small, because I do recognize that I do have 2 units that are basically hogging all of my points, but I think that Despite that, a unit of three Talos is going to do a lot of really good work for the army. And a unit of 10 Grotesques that gets to drop in wherever they need to be, right in someone's face, is a really scary proposition. Like, you know, I don't care how much you're running the Tau Dar gun line, you are going to struggle to drop off your 30, you know, toughness 5 wounds with a 5 plus, you know, with a 5 up. And even then, because of the homunculus, their power from pain, the turn they come in, which is going to be turn 2 or turn 3, is making them just absolutely outstanding. So, I mean, you know, you look at it, and I'm just super happy, because if they come out on turn 2, they would normally just have the feel no pain, but they can't charge, so who cares? And then immediately they've got furious charge. So I'm like, you know what? It's a scary unit. I love it.
So you, that was Grotesques?
Yep.
Right.
10 Grotesques, and then I have an Agonizer in there, because having something to be AP3 is, you know, not a bad idea.
It's nice to have all the extra attacks, but yeah, you're going to feel like you just want a little bit more out of it, and I think that's totally fair. All right, so for the list that you built, you kind of went the way of being a little bit more static with your warriors. Your warriors are benefiting from the power from pain, right? Like, did you?
Oh yeah.
Do you just not really care to even have them get into close combat later in the game? Like, I understand you're buying these 10-man units essentially just for Dark Lances and like the a little bit of rapid fire, but like, is your plan to kind of move them in later, or
absolutely not? I mean, like,
have no urge to use that.
No, because I mean, like, the big thing with this list and the way I see it playing is, early game, when I'm not pulling the feel no pain on the warriors, I'm going to be very conservative with them, try to keep them out of line of sight if possible. Because you have to remember, with the Webway portal, I'm deploying on the board 40 warriors, 12 Reaver jet bikes, and 3 Talos. Okay?
Right.
All the rest of it is starting in reserve, because the flyers obviously can't start, and then the big 10-man Grotesque unit cannot start. And I mean, like, that is... that unit is fucking pricey. Like, it's coming in at 385, which is head and shoulders most expensive unit in my entire army, and I have a unit of 3 Talos. So it's heavy. I'm starting out with 40 warriors. I want to either make sure that they're either pulling a 4+ cover save out of the gates, or they're completely hidden. Once I'm up to turn 3 and I have a 5+ feel no pain, I really want them to be on objectives and just using their objectives secured to hang out. What I'm hoping is that the 3 Talos are going to be a big enough boogeyman that they're going to kind of be scared. They're going to try to be throwing firepower at them. And then when the 10 Grotesques pop out, that they just, you know, they're going to struggle to deal with them. Meanwhile, the Reavers are zipping around being dicks the way that jet bikes should be, especially Eldar jet bikes. Because, I mean, we talked about how much we loved Eldar jet bikes, like the Guardian jet bikes in the Eldar book. These guys, in my opinion, with combat drugs and power from pain, are better, even though they're exactly the same price. Mm-hmm. Difference being 5+ armor save versus 3+ armor save. And I think that that's right. A fair trade-off. But anyway, for me, my warriors will never go to combat unless you try to charge them. I don't want them there. I think that with the Grotesques and with the Talos, I have enough things to block your big combat units that I should be in really good shape from that front. And failing that, I just need to make sure that my Grotesques can get into your shooting lines, which, again, pinpoint accuracy on a deep strike means I can get where I need to be, that I can start, you know, even if you're going heavy combat into my shooting warriors, I'm bringing heavy combat into your shooting lines, kind of comes out in the wash.
Right. No, I think that's fair. I went similar. Obviously, I think you and I hit the same points in terms of, you know, what's worth taking. My core is built around Homunculus, Warriors, Talos, Reaver, Jet Bikes. I'll give you the breakdown here. I've got 2 units of 20 Warriors, Saberite with a Blast Pistol, 2 Blasters, 2 Heat Lances. I like the fact everything's Assault. I'm able to get up, move.
I was going to say, I don't think you can take Heat Lances, though.
You can take their heavy weapons.
However, they're heavy weapons with a number. I'm just going to check.
Oh, let's look at the number.
Heavy weapons, heat lance
Scourges only.
is
Yes, you're right.
one, scourges only. But even then, if you just pay 10 more points, take splinter cannons, you're still doing all right.
Yeah. Well, 5 points more.
Yeah. Well, 10 for the pair.
In which case, there you go. Splinter cannons. Why the hell not? Mm-hmm. You know, as they're moving up, it is shots. So, hey, shots.
Everybody.
Shots, everybody. 17 shots, by the way. In case you don't know. And like they're built for getting in close, moving up the table, just plunking away with their guns. Each unit has a homoculus with them. Homoculus has no upgrades because why? For what I'm using it for. Right away, they've got the 6+ feel no pain.
I was going to say, it's not a bad idea because on turn 2, you're at the 5+ feel no pain.
And that's exactly it, right? Once you hit the 5+ feel no pain, so you got a 5+ armor save, 5+ feel no pain, they're not going to be as easy to kill as they typically would be.
And well, especially with
the terrain.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. True line of sight means that you can typically advance up a board and still pull cover saves from shooting through intervening models, intervening terrain. All sorts of things are going to give you cover saves. So, surprisingly resilient with a 5-up, 5-up.
And that's really the biggest point right there, is that these guys, with 20 guys in the unit, I mean, you really have to have some pretty solid anti-infantry weapons focusing a unit to really wear that unit down. That's essentially the base core of my list. On top of those two is 2 units of 9 Reaver jet bikes, Arena Champ with the Agonizer, 3 Heat Lances. Again, focusing on getting in close, using that for anti-tank, using that to take stuff down. And like we said with the Reaver jet bikes, they're going to run around, they're going to chase tanks, they're going to shoot stuff down. You know, combat drugs might make them better one thing or the other, but either way it makes them better unless my leadership goes up, in which case, yay, leadership 10 jet bikes.
Like I said, you roll the 6, it's the only one where you just kind of sigh, shake your head, and you're like, it's not the worst. It's better than nothing, right. But
depending on what each unit rolls, they might have different uses, but...
Well, it's one roll per army. It's not...
For army.
It's not how you're thinking, how it used to be, just like, this unit of witches... Assaults 12 inches. This unit of witches is weapon skill 5. This unit of witches. Those were the days, though. Those were the days.
That's essentially what we're looking at.
That and characters killing themselves by rolling triples on their combat.
Right, exactly.
Those were the days. That's
the best. Obviously here, the big unit of jet bikes I just feel is a little bit overkill. I feel like it's too much of a soft, sweet, sweet target for a lot of units that are going to want to go after it if you just have that big unit of 12. Yeah, so.
Like I said, honestly, I used to have two of 6, but when you – like I only have 3 fast attacks and I had 2 flyers. Like that was the problem, is for me, in order to split them back down, I lose one of my flyers.
Right. I also took 3 Talos in a unit because why the hell wouldn't you? I did the Twin Link Teat Lance, as well as I also got the Icor Injectors for them. I think the Icor Injectors for 10 points is absolutely worth it. Just making sure that you're able to deal with other monstrous creatures or, you know, other types.
Sorry, keep talking. I'm just going to go and get
them. It's the Deadly Injection or whatever, which is the insta-kill, but they also have Fleshbane.
Oh, really? Fleshbane? Yeah. That's... awesome,
man. So yeah, and that's why I was just like, for 10 points, why wouldn't
Flesh
I
Bane, lethal dose. Yeah, so 6s to wound or instant death, but the fact that you're always wounding on 2s, even against Wraith Knights and shit. Although, let's be honest, if you caught a Wraith Knight, the Eldar player fucked up.
That's pretty much what it comes down to, yes, but...
You're jump infantry, I'm infantry.
Exactly, it's more along the lines of just like, if somebody throws like the Murder of Carnifex at me, or they're throwing a bunch of other monstrous creatures at me, demons or whatever, demon princes and shit like that, greater demons, like I want to be able to just go, and that thing's gone, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of more the important focus for what I was trying to do there. I think the lethal dose is fantastic for what that is. If you ever find yourself in against a character, you find yourself in against a big monster or something like that, just the fact that you're able to just boop and that's off the table is really, really nice. And yeah, the unit ends up being 405 points, but for 3 monstrous creatures, that's totally within the realm of like reasonable.
Well, yeah, I mean, 3 Carnifexes with double devours, which is really the only way to take them, I think, still comes out to 450 or
Like I said, it's definitely comparable, mm-hmm. and yeah, they're absolutely too good. So after that, those were the obvious choices for what I wanted to do. After that, I was just like, right, I got like 400 points left over. What do I want to do with this? And I kind of was sitting there going like, well, do I want to take flyers? I don't really want to. I don't feel like I really need flyers. You know, like, am I just buying them for Skyfire? Am I just buying them for
the... Yeah, you know, honestly,
missiles? Like,
I'm half tempted to drop both of them and just take the boring old Aegis defense line. To be honest, because, like, the thing is, like, this book has nothing Skyfire. So if you want Skyfire, you're either taking flyers, like I did, or you need to take a fortification to put it in your list. But, I mean, like, yeah, if I were to drop them, take an Aegis, I could take that 20-man unit with two splinter cannons, two shredders, and even an agonizer, and just be like, no, I'm fucking going nuts with this now.
Well, yeah. And even, you know, and if you've seen anything for the list that I've built over the years, if I don't really like a flyer, I don't take it just because I don't have Skyfire. Like, if a list doesn't, if a codex doesn't have Skyfire built into it, I'm just like, whatever, I'll just deal with it without Skyfire.
Yeah.
Because on everything else...
Well, I mean, for me, I think the Razor Wing is just such a phenomenal model. Like, that's...
Oh, it's super.
So, like, even looking at this list, if I wanted to build it, I have 40 Warriors with 4 Dark Lances mm-hmm. painted right now. So it's just like, you know, if I wanted to actually take this... And I think I even have 10 or 9 or 10 of the old school Reaver jet bikes, the ones with, like, the long ones with spikes... So I'm like, I could probably get my hands through eBay on another 3 for cheap.
Dildos where it was just like, listen, man, you could put the front end on like this, where it's like, you know, kind of sideways, or you could turn it sideways and put it on up. Like, you could do either one of those.
And I totally mixed them, but I just everyone did because it looks fine, but people just be like, look at my conversion. You're like, that's not a conversion. that's not a conversion.
It's awesome is what it is.
But so anyway, it's just like, I have 9 of them, so I'm like, oh, I can find another 3, get those, and then I'm like, what, buy 3 Talos, buy 2 Razor Wings,
right?
Buy shit to convert Grotesques, because I'm not going to pay money for Fine Cast.
There you go.
Just buy those Vampire Count ones.
The Vampire Count, the Crypt Horrors.
Yep.
There you go. So yes, this is where I was sitting, and what I ended up deciding to get was just purely because I love the models. So can Mandrakes. You guess? Mandrakes and Incubi is what I put into the list. So I've got 10 Incubi with a Claviix, with Demiclaves, which I want to be honest with you. In the weeks since this book has come out, I really hate that they're just like, it's a glaive. No, it's a clave. Why? Fucking cuz. Like, you couldn't just call it a glaive? Like, it couldn't just be a... No, it's a clave.
No, but, I mean, like, that's the thing. You have to remember, 40K is stupid. Because, yes, like, at least fantasy is just, like, there are spears, there are bows, there are hand weapons, whatever the fuck they look like. There are halberds, and there are great weapons. We don't give a fuck what everyone uses that looks like this, but these are the rules for everything.
Right, and if there is a magical great weapon that gives you something else, that is the one time they will actually set that out for you. But yes, so I took 10 Incubi, Sergeant, Demiglaives. I took a Raider. Raider has the Knight Shield and a Shock Prow, just because I had points.
Hooray for Tank Shock.
Why not, right? Armor 14 Tank Shop. I mean, once I drop those, like, because again, I'm deep striking, right? So deep strike these guys in with the Raider later in the game, drop off the Incubi. Once that's done, the Raider's just flying around with the Dark Lance doing what the fuck ever. So it's like, give it Tank Shock, man. I'll just throw it in that Armor 14.
Ram it to Armor 14.
Yeah. That
would be funny.
Let's do it, man. Good times. And then I took 2 units of 5 Mandrakes.
Why did you think the 2 of 5 would be more effective than 1 of 10?
Primarily because they're for grabbing objectives and not necessarily doing shooting and...
Oh, okay.
Super effective. Like, because my warriors are built to get up there, get into the fight, close range, you know, and then as soon as that, you know, turn 3 hits, and I've now got Furious Charge. Well, okay, now I'm going to put them in Furious Charge, and we can go ahead and slug it out. But up until that point, it's like, these guys are never going to be trying to grab objectives, right? Like, they're going to be in the fight. My jet bikes are going to be in the fight. The Talos are going to be in the fight. The Incubi are going to be in the fight. Like, the whole idea of this particular list is just, once they're in your lines, there's a lot of them, and they're kind of, every single one of them is really annoying or is doing things very well. And then the Mandrakes, you know, 18-inch range is fine enough. Assault 2, they've got the stealth, they've got all that extra shit that goes with it, which is super awesome.
Oh, so yeah, like, Shrouded stealth is good.
Two units of five, throw them on objectives, have them sit there, pop shots if they need to, and that's pretty much it. I don't feel like I want to play them as a unit that's built to, like, go up and shoot, because if that's the case, I'm just going to build... there's multiple other units.
Hey, you know what? That's totally fair, because, I mean, like, it was like what I was saying last week with Scourges, where I'm like, if I'm going to take a unit of Scourges, it is five, it is four Haywire Blasters, and then they're going to deep strike in, lob their Haywire Grenades, and hope to God they live to lob a second turn. But they won't, because five toughness, three jump infantry. They're fucking dead.
Exactly.
And I'm okay with that, because their job was to deep strike in and lob Haywire Grenades. That's totally fair. Yeah, I mean, realistically, my list would have had those points if not for the Reavers. Although, like, just talking it through, I think I would probably drop the two Flyers, take an Aegis, and then just take a 20-man foot-slogging Splinter Cannon unit with Shredders, because 5 points for a Strength 6 Blast, that has Shred.
Well, I mean, Shredders are great. I think, you know, you don't really ever have to go wrong with Shredders. The reason why I went the route of Blasters and Blast Pistols is just dealing with high armor units, dealing with armor, just having enough shots with Lance to be able to go pew pew pew, all your armor's off the table. Like, yeah, Flyers are going to suck and I'm going to have to deal with them. The hope is that I can get my Talos close enough to them that, you know, the Heat Lance.
The Twin Linked Heat Lance.
The Twin Linked Heat Lance will do what it needs to do, right? Like, yeah, I hit on, like, I'm only Ballistic Seal 3, but I'm hitting on 6s, so who cares? But 3 Twin Linked Heat Lances, if I can just catch that 1-6, you know.
You could definitely rip it out of the air with that.
If I'm close enough, right? But, yep. Again, kind of the idea behind it is just, like, don't worry about the Flyers. Like, I don't have anything built in here to try to focus the Flyers down. So my goal is going to be to just try to deal with everything else on the table as quickly as possible.
But even then, I do feel like Flyers are less an issue now than they were at the beginning of 6th edition. Because remember, 6th edition, they were shiny, they were new, there was very clear haves and have-nots, where it's just like, you know, hey, I take Flyers because people can't deal with them. But thanks to armies like Guard with their Hydra Flak tanks, Eldar with Crimson Hunters. I mean, Crimson Hunters are hands down the best anti-flyer flyers in the game. Like, they're just outstanding. Even Tau with Riptides ripping off Skyfire and Interceptor. So it's just like, my flyer comes out and the Riptide shoots it down before I even get to shoot it.
Right.
A lot of people, thanks to this almost like escalating arms race of Skyfire armies, or even, and even look at the Marines with their two dedicated anti-air tanks. A lot of people have started leaving their Flyers at home. And Games Workshop is kind of making this a really easy decision to do when you look at actual books where you're just like, well, the Dark Eldar Flyers, there's nothing outstanding about either of them. You look at Tyranids, there's nothing outstanding about either Flyer. You know, you look at Grey Knights, they only have a Storm Raven, and that's not going to hold up.
Right.
Helldrakes got nerfed to the point where you actually need skill to use them effectively. Like, basically, Helldrakes now are like a ship in Firestorm Armada with a forward arc. You actually have to plan out what you want to do, and you can't just fly around willy-nilly. Well, so you look at everything that's happened in the game, and you're just like, you know what? Flyers are not as omnipresent as they used to be. So, you know what? If you're not going anti-flyer and you're just gonna, you know, wing it, you're basically saying
wing it,
right? Hey, that wasn't even intentional. I mean it was totally intentional. Yes,
I'm so witty.
Look at my plane puns.
Virtual high five. plane puns. Good lord.
See, this is just this kind of day for us.
Oh, the
plane. You know, but like I said, it's one of those things where you're just like, you know what? There's no flyer that is getting so many fucking points that you know, not dealing with it is losing me games.
Right.
And so many people are not taking flyers. Like, I think the only army right now that is still in the, no, I take tons of flyers, are Necrons, because Night Scythes and Doom Scythes for the points are just outstanding options for their points. For
Necrons their and Guard. Guard still take their flyers because their flyers are still very, very good. Being able to ship that stuff around the table.
Okay, which is fine, but I mean, like, even then with Guard, they're probably taking a Vendetta, possibly two.
Right.
And what is three Twin Link Blast Cannons that you're going to ignore really going to do to your army? Especially my army list, where I don't even have vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like, if I drop the two Razor Wings, you know, you look at it and you're just like, you know, he doesn't have vehicles. What are we gonna do? Like, okay, so you might be popping a couple wounds on my Talos. You can't instant kill Grotesques.
Well, and that's the other thing, and I find that that's why I feel so comfortable building lists like this, and I assume that, you know, similarly why you also a lot of times will build those types of things is, like, if I'm going up against a list built with two or three options to do with flyers, those are useless to him in the game against
me,
right? All of his Skyfire shit doesn't, it, like, it, who cares? It's there, whatever, right? Like, everything I brought to the table does exactly what I want it to do. There's no question marks. There's no uncertainty about whether or not these guys are going to do what they need to do if they are able to get into position. But, you know, with this list, you know, you're talking 40-foot slogging guys with Feel No Pain, you know, moving up the table, shooting the assault weapons or salvo weapons or whatever, and really just going for it is much more useful than, oh man, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to buy all this extra shit to just make sure I can deal with these flyers. And then I'm going to take two flyers. And then, you know, my army on the table is hugging the Aegis defense line and all the scenery and I never move. But that's what 40K is now. So it's like, I don't know. Does this work well against that? Is that going to be able to hold up to, you know, all of this stuff coming up the table, all these jet bikes coming up the table? Maybe, maybe not. But at least it'll be a fun game and I have self-respect. But yeah, I think Mandrakes.
Tell me how you really feel.
I think we undersold Mandrakes, or at least I undersold Mandrakes in the last podcast, because the more I looked at them and the more I, you know, thought about, you know, getting these guys on my list, like, you'd be hard pressed to find a better objective holding unit, right?
Oh yeah,
10 listen, strength 4, AP 4, range 18.
That's exactly
assault
what I
2.
That's exactly what I said. Where I was just like, you know what, the fact that a unit of five of them is so fucking cheap. How many points is five?
Oh God, hold on.
Sorry, yeah, like
I don't actually have it written in because I just started adding separately.
Oh, okay.
So 48, 60.
60 points for five Mandrakes. I mean, shit. Even if you wanted to go with 36 points for the three of them, you know, stealth shrouded, the ability to go to ground. Like, so with stealth and shrouded, they can go to ground in the open. And they're pulling a 3+ cover save. So it's just like, you get them anywhere. You put an objective. And remember, you're always placing objectives where you need them to be. They have infiltrate. They have all of these things.
Well, infiltrate and fleet.
Well, and even then, as I've said numerous times, I think that if you're not playing Maelstrom missions, you are playing 40K incorrectly. Like, you know what? Maybe it's because I've been playing for 16 years where I just look at it and I'm like, fuck off. Like, just the typical cleanse or claim this objective or kill points or victory points as it is now, or like whatever the fuck generic boring ass mission is so done. So it's just like, you should be playing Maelstrom missions. And at the end of the day, there are 18 victory points up for grabs for scoring, for holding objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at, even if you look at 36 points, the fact that you can basically camp an objective, and the moment that card comes up, smile to yourself knowing that you get a free point. Because, you know, you're not going to put him on his side of the table. You're going to put him on that one objective that's, you know, because, like, you want to set it up in such a way where it's just like you've deployed your army all off on one side, so he's kind of countermatching your deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one point on the board that's on the far side that no one can get to, and you just infiltrate them on that objective and you laugh. Because if he shoots anything at you, you go to ground, 2+ cover.
Exactly.
You know, and you're just like, oh, you know what? I'm just scoring a point anytime a card comes up that has that. And one of the Maelstrom missions lets me steal your objective cards. So you're just like, if you draw that mission, because that was the one I played in my last game of 40K, you know, if you pull that mission, you know, even better, because if you draw that card, I score a point, or and if I draw that card, I score a point. So you can't lose. Not for 36 points. It's what I said about Grotz.
Yeah, 60 like, points for 5 is dirt, dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, as I was going through it, I just sat there going like, yeah, why wouldn't, like, why shouldn't I take these 120 points for 2 units of 5, getting the objectives, infiltrating, fleet, you know, shrouded, stealth. I mean, move through cover too, because why the hell not, right? Like, this is one of the perfect units for grabbing those objectives and just kind of sitting in and going like, well, these guys have now for 60 points, they're scoring me points every turn. And if I don't even kill a single model with these guys, they have absolutely done their jobs. So yeah, I feel like if you are playing Dark Eldar, these do kind of start rolling into that realm of, well, you absolutely should take at least 5.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
why would you not take at least 5? Just you're going in there. I think 3 is a little chintzy. Mm-hmm. Just because you could, on a bad roll, lose a couple, and then, that's kind of shitty, but...
I do agree 3 is a little chintzy, but even if all you're just like, I have 40 points left, what am I going to take? 3 Mandrakes. Every time.
Yeah, I played base for chintzy Mandrakes. Oh my god, that needs to go on a t-shirt. Chintzy Mandrakes. Oh, fuck yeah.
I was going to say, that and Legitimate Dinosaur, I feel, or something.
Legitimate Dinosaur, Mongoloid Squad, Swiss German Atrocities.
Yeah, but see, no one else heard Swiss German Atrocities.
I know, but it's still so, in my mind. Awesome. Nobody heard Mongoloid Squad. That was just a conversation I had with Kyle. But I was like, oh my god. Yeah, there you go, dude. Chintzy Mandrakes. God, yes.
Uh-huh. No,
I can't let it go. Hold on one more time. Chintzy Mandrakes. That's the one right there. That's mm-hmm. the winner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go. There are our lists. I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, I'm very happy with the list. There's not a whole lot that I would really change or tweak a whole lot. I don't necessarily buy into the deep striking homunculus with Grotesque just because it's so goddamn expensive, and the squad with the right weapons.
Well, but I mean, it is 450. Sorry, forgetting the Webway portal. It is 485 points.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even try to defend the number of points. Mm-hmm. When we're talking 40K, and especially in this book where everything is super unbelievably cheap. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. However, 30 toughness 5 wounds that, you know, come stock with a 5 up feel no pain is going to be hard to deal with, especially when I'm able to deep strike them without scatter, so I can put them in a cover save as well. Sure, I have to take dangerous terrain tests, but all a dangerous terrain test is a wound with no armor saves, so I can still bounce it off my feel no pain.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you look at it and you're like, you know what? If I were to drop 30 toughness 5 wounds in a 4-up cover save with 5-up feel no pain that is easily charge distance of you the next turn, you're not getting through it. You're absolutely not getting through it. You could spend your entire round of shooting at them, and you will not burn down that squad. You won't even burn them to half. And that's why I love them. Is, you know, if anyone castle deploys, that unit is the hard counter. You cannot mm-hmm. castle deploy and deal with it, because they're going to shrug your army worth of shooting. I mean, in the last Tyranid book, I shrugged an entire Imperial Guard army worth of shooting on a Moloch, which was toughness 6, 6 wounds with a 3-up save, and he was pulling a 4-up cover save, and I ate the entire guard army's firepower and had 2 wounds left. And you're like, yeah, well, you're fucked now. Like, you right. did not shoot at a Tyranid army running across the board at you because you couldn't kill this one monstrous creature.
Even if you had killed the Moloch, you were just like, and the Tyranids show up.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And that's
I think that's fair, actually.
Where I'm just like, that unit is just so fucking tough that if you ignore it, you're fucked, because I'm going to just start rolling through your backfield unit after unit after unit.
Yeah, and I think when you put it that way, it makes a heck of a lot more sense in my mind. Because again, yeah, they're going to get there. I think that's the big thing. They're with the Webway portal, they're going to get there. They go exactly where you want them to go. And then they just, if they panic fire at you, I mean, you don't have a whole lot else coming up the table other than the jet bikes and the Talos, but it, like you said, it is an enormous, like, that's way tougher than your Moloch in terms of, sure, unload your entire army's worth of firepower on them and see what happens, but.
No, and that's exactly the point, is you're just like, you can unload an entire army's worth of firepower, and even if my dice are shit, you will not wipe that unit out. You can't. It's just, it is too tough. It is too many wounds. 30 toughness, 5 wounds.
And they're really the only unit you would do that with, too, in the book.
Oh yeah,
I
absolutely. Because
couldn't
like,
see any other unit trying to pull that out.
well, again, when I had
That's just too sketchy.
a kitted out kit, combat archon with 12 slith and the 2 venoms, they cost 150 points more than that grotesque homunculus combo, and I was just like, it's no, why would I?
Well, the
Why would
Slith.
I? Listen, I love the slith, I do. And one thing that a friend and I talked about was, even if you just don't go full ham on it, an okay archon, not geared to the nines, with 9 slith in a raider with splinter racks with a webway portal, that raider just plops where you want it to be. All the slith unload, and they're twin linked because of the splinter racks.
Yeah, I could see that, but even when you look at the Sliths, 10 points more for grotesques. And that's an
That,
extra wound. It's more
it's the
attacks. Like, yeah, you're not getting the
extra
shooting,
wound,
but.
it's the feel no pain, and you trade
Right.
shooting.
Right, exactly. Well, not even feel no pain, but feel no pain and power from pain, right? The
Yeah.
Sliths aren't getting power from pain. So it is one of those things where they're benefiting from the homunculus as opposed to just, hey, I have an Archon on this raider. What's he doing? He's shooting a gun.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, okay, are you going to get off and do something? I don't know.
Well, no, you don't, because like with the Archon with the
Well,
court, even if
that
you're
was me
coming
being
down in the
facetious.
raider,
No, you don't
no,
get
I know, but like that's the thing.
off.
We're just like, maybe if your raider gets shot down and they're all pedestrians and you didn't wipe an entire unit out with your shard carbines from the slith, sure, charge, try to finish him off, but that's about all you're doing.
Yeah, pretty
So.
much.
Oh, the Slith do have feel no pain, but you're right, no power from pain.
No
And
power
I
from
think
pain.
that's the big difference is, on turn 2, if the grotesques come down, the thanks to the homunculus, their power from pain is up to turn 3, feel no pain, but I can't charge that turn. All I have to do is stand there and eat it, which is fine. And then the next turn, when I am looking to charge, the homunculus is already granting me furious charge. So you're just like, no, I'm perfect. There's
So
literally no bad to this.
last episode, you were all Ermager, Chronos, Spirit Probe, Vortex thing, but that didn't make it into your list.
See, I wasn't.
Did you kind of change your mind on that?
All I said was that they're not terrible. No.
No, you were saying like they're totally worth it. Every list, put them in the back.
See, sort of. Yes. I mean, I still like the Chronos. Don't get me wrong. However,
How would you
it.
change your list if you were gonna do that,
If I
Kronos?
was if I was going to change my list, I like your list. I would throw a Chronos in,
I was pondering it.
because your list with two. Two walking up the board units with homunculus, the Chronos gives them feel no pain at deployment. That's how I would change, and that's the style of list that I would do, is I would just make sure that my entire list was designed to run up the board and really kind of stack things. So we're talking the bullshit, what is it, Animus Vitae, that could possibly give it plus one, hopefully, if it works. Plus
Well, you
hum
have to take an Archon for that shit.
Yeah, and that's kind of why you
Just take
would.
a
But like
Mach.
your list, I would absolutely have a Chronos in the backfield. One Chronos and then a unit of two Talos is how I would just split it out, because that gives your warriors feel no pain 5+ at deployment, and that is nothing to sneeze at. And the other thing that I would do with your list is add that Aegis Defense line, because if I'm not mistaken, and keep in mind a glazed over fortification, so I'm sure everyone's going to correct me, you can deploy it on your half of the board. So you deploy that Aegis in a literally a straight line where you want your warriors to run, but closer to the middle point of the board. So that way you're pulling the 4+ cover save with a 5+ feel no pain out of the gates. And you're just like, ah, fucking come at me. Like, do you realize how hard it is to kill me? You have a what? Two in You have a 1 in 3 chance. Like, basically, you give your Dark Elder Warriors power armor by giving a 4+ cover save for shooting past
No,
an
no, no. I
Aegis
get that,
and
right?
feel no pain. So you're just like, yeah, come at me.
I think
Hell, even witches would have power armor at that point, and witches would not be that terrible to be running up with power armor. I mean, they're not as good as warriors, which is why I wouldn't take them.
If the only thing I'm really, really worrying about turn one is that I've got a 6+ feel no pain instead of a 5+, I don't know. I do think it would be better in general. I would have to probably give that one to you, but I don't think I would feel it quite that hard just having the third Talos as opposed to the Chronos. Like, I don't know if it's that much better. All it really means in my mind is that I would have the Furious Charger turn sooner. That's all it really, like, in my mind, that's...
And that's what I was going to say.
Before the alliteration is ruined.
Right? Before the alliteration is ruined. No, but I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, when I looked at my list, because I did consider the Chronos, I really did. But it's just, like, I have 4 units of 10 warriors whose job is to keep their heads down and claim objectives. Yeah, but I mean, like, even then, when you look at how many anti-tank weapons, yeah, they all have Dark Lances, which is great. But I still have 4 Heat Lances off the Reavers. I have the 2 Razor Wings, which each have a pair of Dark Lances. Yep. And I have the 3 Talos with Heat Lances. So it's just like, I actually have a decent spread of anti-tank. And this isn't the heyday of 5th edition, where every single unit needs to have a melted gun or you're fucked because you run into that guard parking lot of 12 plus chimeras and you can't win. Like, that's not what the meta is these days. So you're just like, the first 2 turns, my warriors are just trying to keep their heads down and move. Like, I'm moving my warriors to get them close to objectives. After that, you know, great. Get into position, bunker down, go to ground if anyone shoots at you, and just provide supporting fire. And that's why I looked at the Chronos, and I was like, okay, so the Grotesques are deep striking. The Razor Wings are in reserve. The only unit that would realistically be taking fire that I would care about and would really want to have that bonus for are the Talos, and I don't think Talos have power from pain, do they?
No, they do not.
Special rules. No, they don't. So that's why I looked at the Chronos, and I was like, it does not fit the list that I'm building here. Yeah. But if I wanted to run loads of foot infantry, 100%.
They both have feel no pain, which is great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But like I said, when you look at my list, the only unit that would benefit from the Chronos are the Reavers. And honestly, for the first couple of turns, I'm probably just going to be going flat out to get into a better position and jinking.
Right.
You know, so you're just like, oh, you know what? I'm just going pure survival at this point. So
yeah, I mean, the most important thing is the feel no pain, right? Like, just the feel no pain 5+. You want that army wide. That is going to be super important. Furious charge is when it's just like, okay, by the time I hit turn 3, I should be looking to get into that charge range. I should be looking to make that stuff work for me. After that, Fearless, Rage, okay, sure, fine, it's there. Yeah. I mean, that as an endgame feature is nice, but I mean, really, it's the feel no pain. And like I said, at the end of, I don't know.
If you want,
I'm so 50-50 on it. I would have to play. Like, this is one of those things where I would absolutely say I would have to play it. I would have to play one and then try it the other way and see which one really worked for me.
Well, realistically, you do have to play it because you have to play it maybe play a tournament with your list as is and say, how often on turn one when all I have is a 6+, how many times did my warriors just get fucked up? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is lots, you sub to the Chronos because it's going to improve their survivability.
Exactly.
I think that if you wanted Foot Witches and Foot Hellions, which again are both kind of subpar units, granted, like, you know, I would not recommend taking either of them unless you love the models to death. The Chronos is a fucking necessity because they have no saves.
Mm-hmm.
As I was saying, like, if you did have an Aegis defense line that is, you know, halfway up the board, plus that Chronos, plus the Homunculus, the fact that you could have witch units pulling the equivalent of power armor, you know, that actually makes them a little bit better. But again, I'd rather do that with warriors because, you know, that warrior unit with an agonizer is going to be doing work for you as you advance with your shredders, with your... Mm-hmm. I mean, I know why you took blasters. Like, for me, I'm just like, I love the shredder. Fucking 5 points. outstanding.
Well, it's just because everything in my list that's anti-tank is Shredder or Heatlance. I have a Dark Lance on the Raider that's deep striking. Like, that's it, right?
Yeah, so that's
the breakdown there. But yeah. I absolutely see it. I think the saving grace in this case is that most people don't care about Dark Eldar Warriors. I mean, just the long years of Dark Eldar Warriors being the shittiest half of the starter kit, it plays into their favor now, where I think a lot of people are just going to be like, shoot the Talos, shoot the jet bikes. No.
Okay, so, you know, I have a question for you, because, I mean, like, you know, and this is something that I want to try to incorporate in future Codex reviews, but when you look at the Allies Matrix, Dark Eldar are only Battle Brothers with Eldar. Could you see yourself building a list that takes Eldar allies? Like, when you look at that extra 400 points, when you're like, I guess I'm just taking shit, would you want to look at it and say, you know what, I'd be better off with a Farseer and Guardian jet bikes? Is that something that you would even consider? Because that is the reality of 40K these days, is allies, Battle Brothers, would you consider taking Eldar? Because honestly, I think I would. I think that I would happily drop that grotesque unit and look at making a joint Eldar, Dark Eldar list, because I feel like it would be better than what I have.
I would if I really wanted the flyer. But outside of that, I don't necessarily feel like that Eldar are bringing so much more to the table than Dark Eldar. Having the psychic powers in there is great, but the psychic powers, I mean, Power from Pain is essentially an ongoing psychic power for the whole army. So I don't like I need to go crazy that way. I'm trying to think what I would really want to add out of the Eldar book. And I'm trying to recall my Eldar list back from when we put it together. And well, Wraithguard would be a really nice option in there, too.
Wraithguard would be good. Sorry, now that I got the Eldar book out because I said it. Wraithguard are 32 points per model compared to the 35 of Grotesques, which is interesting. Fucking Webway Portal unit of Wraithguard with their fucking D-Scythes. Suddenly, that's a...
Yeah, Wraithguard with D-Sides would actually be really, really cool.
Especially with a Webway Portal, where you're able to just plant them that way. No, because like I said, when I truly look at it, and I want to look at, you know, and you want to talk about it, I think that when you're talking about your allies for Sorg, where you have your one HQ and your one troops, you take the Farseer, or even the, if you're going to end up with Wraithguard of any kind, you take the Spirit Seer.
Yeah, that would be the choice.
You know, and then you take your Guardian jet bikes, because I feel like a unit of Guardian jet bikes with Shuriken cannons are going to help you, you know, help support your jet bikes. Because, I mean, you have two units of nine that are anti-tank and then combat. Like, that is what they want to do. So if you were to throw in a unit of nine Guardian jet bikes at, like I said, 17 points per model, 3 plus save, more survivability, anti-infantry, suddenly you have basically an air force. Like, honestly, when I think about it, I think a Dark Eldar same hand joint task force would be outstanding, really. You know, Dark Eldar jet bikes backed up with warriors, backed up with, you know, Guardian jet bikes, Wraith Knights, like... That would be a really, really mobile, really difficult army to deal with.
I could absolutely see it, but in my mind, no, it's not necessary. And that's kind of more it than anything. I don't feel like I need it. Sure, I think there's ways that you could tweak it, and you would feel pretty good about it, but I don't know if it would necessarily accomplish more than what is available to you for the Dark Eldar as it stands. I think your grotesque unit is totally just as viable as other options because of the fact that it's strength 5, toughness 5 with all those wounds, as opposed to just high toughness with a 3 plus save, right?
Because that is the difference between the Wraiths versus the grotesques.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 wounds, toughness 5. Like I said, I stand by the list that I made. If I was going to revamp to be Eldar allies, it would probably be to get a Farseer, a Wraith Knight, and a pair of units of Guardian Jetbikes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see there being anything else that I would pull out of that book, to be perfectly honest. And then for the Dark Elder, I'd just keep everything cheap. I would take Warriors, I would take Reaver jet bikes, and I'd probably take some Talos. You know, just keep everything.
The jet bike army, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it would be fucking fast. Because could you imagine 2 units of Guardian jet bikes with 3 units of Reavers?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
You're spending practically no points, and you're putting almost 50 bikes on the board.
Well, it'd be a 30-year army, but still, like that, the amount that you're able to put on the board would actually be pretty impressive. Yeah, I think that's totally viable. I think you could absolutely do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it I don't know that grinds against my fluff persona. Eldar and Dark Eldar. Fuck no. Why?
Oh, I know. No. I agree. Like, don't
Battle Brothers. What the fuck is wrong with you? No.
Dark Eldar should be Battle Brothers with precisely no one. I agree
in
with
my
you.
Mind as well, yeah.
I agree with you 100%. Because remember what we always said, where it's just like, even though Games Workshop always tried to lump everyone in the bucket and just be like, you're evil, and this is evil, and that's evil. At the end of the day, the only two truly evil forces that you could say are like the Chaos Gods themselves, because even the Servants, like, you know, Chaos Space Marines, you know, Imperial Guard Renegades, things like that. Once you are truly enthralled by Chaos, you're nothing more than just a pawn to these schemes, right? Like, your free will is practically gone. But it's just like Chaos and Dark Eldar, they're fucking evil.
Right.
You know, like, it was just like, make no mistakes about it. And Dark Eldar, all they were just in it for the slaves.
Necrons are Republicans. You know. Joy.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely it. Which brings us to the weekly listener poll question, which is kind of a lead up here. We always tend to ask this about elves in fantasy. Dark elves, high elves, wood elves. In 40K, we have Dark Eldar and Eldar. But which do you feel comes out on top after this book has been released? Eldar or Dark Eldar? If you had to pick one book, and that book, you would say, comes out higher tier, quote unquote, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the one that you feel is the winner between these two?
Eldar because of Battle Focus.
I think Battle Focus is a huge, huge deal. But I think you would have to see how an entire Feel No Pain army mm-hmm. with those kinds of numbers on the table really plays out. In
you know, I was really hoping that Battle Focus would end up being the Always Strikes first of 40K. Because, right. You know, again, like when High Elves got ASF, because they're like, well, elves are always fast. They're like, what about the other two elves? You're like, you know, you're right. That's just an elf special rule. And I love it. It's totally fitting and it's totally fluffy and fantasy. I was really hoping that they would go along those same lines and we would just see Battle Focus army-wide. Because if Dark Eldar had Battle Focus with Power from Pain, and honestly, I don't even feel like that would be too broken. Because, you know, you look at Eldar and Eldar have access to 3+ saves, toughness 8. Like, just Eldar are a more survivable army. Like, Dark Wave Serpent. Access to
3+ saves?
Yeah, but those, what, 3 units?
Well, I'm just saying.
Right? No, but I mean, at the end of the day, Eldar are more survivable, full stop. You know, Aspect Warriors will all have 3+ saves. Wave Serpents, Falcons, Fire Prism Tank, like, all of their vehicles survivable.
The armor is the big thing. I don't think there's any one combat unit here that's going to overshadow what's currently in the Eldar book, and the fact that you have access to all of this better armor. Then kind of this fast armor 10, man, I deep strike it. Once it's there, it's gone. Cheap transport style, yep. Dark Eldar stuff. It does kind of fall off a little bit. And as much as I love the Talos, it still does not stand up against the options for monstrous creatures and, you know, Wraith Lords,
oh, yeah.
Kind of shit that you have running all over the table, Wraith Knights, so on and
yeah,
so
on. Yeah, I was going to say, one Wraith Knight would probably tool my 3 Talos, because I could never catch it. And that was the thing, is like, that's why I was really hoping that Dark Eldar would inherit Battle Focus, and they'd just be like, no, this is just an Eldar thing. They are so agile that they may run and shoot, or shoot and run in any order they want, exactly. Period. Elves can do it, because then, you know, Talos can't, Grotesques can't, Rax can't, You know, but it's just like if Dark Eldar Warriors and Witches, although Witches, fuck them. But if Dark Eldar Warriors had that, and even Hellions had battle focus, I would say at that point it is a hard decision to say which list is better. As it stands right now, Eldar, head and shoulders.
There you go.
And almost all of it is battle focus for
So
me.
you've heard what we had to say, but you guys can vote on that at jadedgamercast.com. And there you go. That is Dark Eldar. Overall, a very positive experience from Games Workshop, which is something new we haven't seen in a while. So that's pretty nice there. But hey, that has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.